Hi, this is Chris France of Talking Heads, and you're listening to 90.7 FM WGXC, Accra.
During this pledge drive, this is what we're doing, raising money for your community radio station, getting live airwaves, getting community radio to your ears with your support and help. Thank you so much for donating and for helping this community radio station, WGXC. And every little bit helps. So thank you for listening. And the easiest way to go is to wgxc.org/donate. And you can give us whatever you're able, and that'll help us through these next years of live community radio. Or you can call 518-697-7400. That is also an option for those of you who like to dial numbers. 518-697-7400. 518-697-7400. This is the Please Assist Us in Transmission pledge drive on WGXC. We do this every so often where we have to remind you that it is your financial contributions that help us keep going here on this community radio station. And to those of you who have already become monthly sustaining donors and signed up to keep it going, thank you, thank you, thank you. We appreciate it. And that is what allows us to pay the bills. And we are also looking for new programmers. We're always evolving. We have over 100 programmers of such a diverse backgrounds that just blast the awesomest, craziest, coolest shows to your ear live. And love it or hate it, doesn't matter. It's the diversity and the opportunity of people to be heard that I think is the most important thing of the democratic backbone of our free speech on the media airwaves in particular. So here we are, wgxc.org/donate or 518-697-7400.
You have tuned into the WGXC 10th Anniversary Radio for Open Ears Pledge Drive, and we are trying to sign up about 50 or so folks to become sustaining supporters at WGXC. You can go to wgxc.org/donate if you want to do that. Sustaining supporters provide a monthly sum, say 17 cents a day, $5 a month, and give WGXC a reliable source of funds to plan for the future and make sure that we can keep creative community radio voices on the air. These are the people from your neighborhood that make radio on WGXC. The people from your neighborhood, you get to overhear their conversations, their issues, their points of view. You get to hear how other people think about local issues and talk about local issues. You get to hear people play music you've never heard before or music you've forgotten how much you loved. That's what community radio is all about. It takes a neighborhood to make community radio station. And WGXC is a neighborhood full of all different types of people, from teenagers talking about the books they've read and their stories and songs, to senior citizens playing their favorite songs and singing along on the radio as they play them. WGXC has broadcasters in Lexington and Catskill and Hudson and Germantown and Chatham and Nassau and Surprise and Palinville. And we hope you consider making a pledge at WGXC.org today to keep the people in your neighborhood on the radio, on the air. These are the people in your neighborhood at WGXC.org/donate. You can also call 518-697-7400 or go online to WGXC.org/donate and make a donation today. Become a sustaining supporter to help the people from your neighborhood keep broadcasting another 10 years on 90.7 FM, the one sliver of the public radio dial that's actually accessible to the public.
Wave Farm programs are made possible in part by the New York State Council on the Arts, with the support of the New York State Legislature, the National Endowment for the Arts, the Andy Warhol Foundation for the Visual Arts, the Greene County Legislature through the County Initiative Program, administered in Greene County by CREATE, The Alexander and Marjorie Hoover Foundation, the T. Backer Fund, the Joseph Family Charitable Trust, and hundreds of other generous individual donors, including WGXC's sustaining supporters, who provide critical monthly support to Wave Farms radio station WGXC 90.7 FM. Thank you.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Cochrane Media of Cairo, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate. Thank you for your support.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC News Update. Andrea Mako reports for Porcupine Soup that the Bank of Greene County announced on February 23rd a commitment for up to $5 million in low-interest loans for business investments on Cairo's Main Street. Several new businesses have opened there recently. Bank of Greene County President and CEO Don Gibson said, and I quote, "We have designed a unique loan program to keep the momentum moving forward. The program will support existing and new business entrepreneurs, which we believe will spur more investments," end quote. There are not too many locations for businesses to move into on Main Street, and Cairo is already working on infrastructure expansion aimed at bringing manufacturing and distribution companies across from the McDonald's on State Route 23. Read more about this story at Porcupine Soup. Roger Hannigan-Gilson reports in the Times Union that the newspaper obtained 10 video recordings showing recent fights between students at Hudson schools. All but one are from the junior high school, which shares a campus with the high school, which is the location of the other recordings. The Times Union did not publish the video because they contain minors. Last week, a student threatened a school shooting on the campus. One parent told the newspaper, and I quote, "The teachers are afraid. The students are afraid. It is a volatile environment where no learning can go on," end quote. The fights have been going on with a Hudson Police Department officer on campus. One parent blamed the COVID-19 pandemic for so much violence on campus. The parent said, and I quote, "The primary issue is kids readjusting to normal society after learning during COVID that it's okay to say whatever one wants as a keyboard warrior," end quote. Read more about this story in the Times Union. The Columbia County Democratic Committee announced on social media that on February 23rd that they backed Chris Liberati Conant to run for district attorney. Liberati Conant is currently an assistant solicitor general for New York State's Office of Attorney General. He said, and I quote, "I'm running for district attorney because every person in Columbia County deserves to know that justice will be done no matter if they're red or blue, black or white, or rich or poor. The people of Columbia County deserve a professional, apolitical prosecutor that will do what is right, not what is politically advantageous." Longtime Columbia County District Attorney Paul Chyka, a Republican, is not running for re-election this year, giving Democrats hope that they could win the seat. Chyka and Columbia County Republicans have endorsed current Assistant DA Ryan Carty to run for district attorney. And that wraps up the WGXC Daily News. You can visit our website at WGXC.org for local weather updates, public meetings, a community calendar, or COVID-19 updates. And while you're there, please click on the donate button to become a WGXC sustaining supporter or make a one-time donation. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a nice weekend.
Malcolm X, his struggle continues. I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! With Dennis Moynihan and our weekly Breaking the Sound Barrier podcast. Malcolm X was assassinated 58 years ago on February 21st, 1965, standing at the podium before a crowd in Harlem's Audubon Ballroom. His wife, Betty Shabazz, pregnant with twins, and his four daughters, aged 6, 4, 2, and 5 months, were in the ballroom looking on. As Malcolm began speaking, a man shouted, accusing another of picking his pocket, creating a disturbance. A smoke bomb was thrown. Amidst the confusion, 3 gunmen at the front of the hall opened fire. Malcolm was hit 17 times in the ensuing hail of bullets. He died on the stage as chaos erupted. Talmage Hayer, a.k.a. Mujahid Abdul Halim, was shot in the leg by one of Malcolm X's bodyguards as he fled the ballroom. He was caught on the scene with ammunition that matched one of the murder weapons. In the days that followed, 2 other men, Khalil Islam and Muhammad Aziz, were arrested and accused of being the 2 additional shooters, even though they were nowhere near the ballroom that day and could prove it. Hayer testified under oath that his 2 co-defendants were innocent, but was ignored. Aziz would go on to spend 20 years in prison, Islam 22. Then, in 2021, more than 56 years after Malcolm X's assassination, these 2 wrongfully convicted men were exonerated. Muhammad Aziz was 83 years old. Khalil Islam died in 2009. Manhattan District Attorney Cyrus Vance Jr. opened a reinvestigation of the assassination and prosecution, complementing years of dogged research by journalists, historians, and independent researchers that pointed not only to the innocence of Aziz and Islam, but to the guilt of others. The reinvestigation spanned almost 2 years and uncovered previously undisclosed FBI and New York Police Department, NYPD, documents. It was revealed more than half a century later that the FBI had up to 10 informants inside the Audubon Ballroom. The NYPD had at least 3 undercover officers there as well, one of whom was actually on Malcolm X's security team. Evidence gathered by both the FBI and the NYPD that was exculpatory was deliberately withheld from Aziz and Islam. This information and more, the Manhattan DA argued, quote, would have resulted in verdicts more favorable to the defendants, unquote. The court agreed and vacated the convictions in late 2021. Muhammad Aziz and the estate of Khalil Islam sued both New York City and the state of New York for wrongful conviction and imprisonment, and in late 2022, they reached a combined settlement of $36 million. Which brings us to 2023. Today, the Audubon Ballroom has been restored and is the Malcolm X and Dr. Betty Shabazz Memorial and Education Center. On February 21st, the 58th anniversary of Malcolm's assassination, the family, along with their lawyers, held a news conference there to announce a forthcoming $100 million wrongful death lawsuit. The suit will name the City of New York, the District Attorney, the NYPD, the FBI, the U.S. Justice Department, and, interestingly, the Central Intelligence Agency.
We intend to have vigorous litigation of this matter.
That's civil rights attorney Benjamin Crump.
To have discovery, to be able to take depositions of the individuals who are still alive 58 years later, to make sure that some measure of justice can be given to Malcolm X's daughters, who in this very room were present with their mother when he was shot at 21 times, 17 bullets hitting him. If anybody deserves justice after these decades, it is these women.
Malcolm X's third daughter of six, Dr. Ilyasa Shabazz, an educator and author, spoke next, her voice shaking.
On February 21st, 1965, my mother came here excited to see her husband because a week prior, her home had been firebombed. She walked in here happy, and she left out shattered.
Ilyasa was also there that day, just 2 years old. She continued,
"For years, our family has fought for the truth to come to light concerning his murder, and we'd like our father to receive the justice that he deserves. The truth about the circumstances leading to the death of our father is important not only to his family, but to many followers, many admirers, many who look to him for guidance, for love. And it is our hope that litigation of this case will finally provide some unanswered questions. We want justice served for our father. Thank you."
Malcolm X was just 39 years old when he was assassinated, as was Martin Luther King Jr. 3 years later when felled by a sniper's bullet in Memphis. Both men were leading revolutionary movements for black liberation. Both were heavily surveilled and targeted by J. Edgar Hoover's FBI. The time for knowing the full truth behind Malcolm X's assassination is long past due. May this lawsuit provide the answers and the overdue justice that his daughters and this country deserve. I'm Amy Goodman with Dennis Moynihan.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre with the WGXC renewable weather forecast for Sunday, February 26th. And we start each renewable weather forecast with the price of fossil fuels in Greene County. The Mobile in Cairo has gas at $3.39 a gallon, the lowest in the county according to the Gas Buddy website. The air quality forecast is just a 33. That is considered low on Sunday. The UV index is a 3. That's considered moderate, but on the low side, but it's actually kind of high for the winter. The water temperature in the Hudson River in Albany is just above 38 degrees. Over the last 10 years, it's averaged just above 36 degrees on February 26th, so it's about 2 degrees above normal. The National Weather Service in Albany predicts Sunday should be partly sunny with a high of 42 and a south wind 6 to 11 miles per hour, becoming from the west 16 to 21 miles per hour in the afternoon with wind gusts as high as 33 miles per hour, spinning local windmills. Sunday night, the forecast is for a partly cloudy sky with breezy conditions, a northwest wind 14 to 20 miles per hour, and a low around 19. Monday, snow showers are likely mainly after 5 p.m., with increasing clouds during the day and a high near 34. There should be a northwest wind 5 to 9 miles per hour, becoming light and variable, with a 60% chance of precipitation and less than a half an inch possible. Monday night, there could be more snow showers, mainly after 8 p.m., and then snow after 8 p.m. There's a 100% chance of precipitation with a low around 25 and a southeast wind 11 to 16 miles per hour with gusts as high as 29 miles per hour. The snow continues into Tuesday. There could be lots of it, several inches, and it ends at around 1 p.m., possibly turning to rain at that point with a high near 37. Tuesday night, partly cloudy is the forecast with a low around 21, and then Wednesday should be partly sunny with a high of 41 and a low around 31. You're listening to the radio, WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, solar-powered radio for open ear.
This is Willie Terry, your Roman labor correspondent for the Hudson Mohawk magazine, and I'm here today at the Capitol, East Capitol Park in Albany, New York, where Citizen Action is holding a press conference where they are calling for housing, justice, and child care. This is one of the 8 press conferences that they have are having simultaneously around the state.
Good afternoon, Capital District. Thank you all for joining us here and those who are joining us online. I'm Torian Lewis, community organizer for Citizen Action of New York here in the Capital District. We're here today because the everyday people of Capital District and beyond deserve guaranteed housing that is safe and dignified, no matter their income or social status. We're here today because everyone in the Capital District and beyond deserves to live in a healthy and resilient community protected from extreme weather and pollution. We're here today because whatever our race, background, or zip code, we all want high-quality childcare and public education so our kids can thrive, parents can work, and we can build safe and healthy communities. We're here today calling on Assemblymember Angelo Santa Barbara to stop ignoring his constituency, who have repeatedly reached out to his office by phone, email, and even stopped by his office to schedule a time to speak with him to no avail. So we're here to make sure that he and every other shows up for them in the same way they showed up for him at the polls, to not only support statewide tenant protections in the face of the rapidly escalating housing and climate crises, but legislation increasing access to childcare, including before and after care, and a living wage for providers who are the literal workforce behind the workforce.
That's right.
So, without further ado, I'd like to introduce you to Justin Chairs.
Thank you for having me here today. It's a great honor to stand with so many people who are constantly working to do this hard work in the area. As Torin just said, today is about making sure that our assemblyman, my assemblyman, because I'm speaking plain, it's not personal, it's about doing the right thing. So when you're talking about climate justice and making sure we have clean jobs and making sure that we are tackling the crisis head on, you can't stand on the sidelines when you're a state legislator. When it comes to universal child care and actually helping the families inside of our community in the 111th district, you can't stand on the sideline. You can't pretend to show up in the morning. You can't be there for a photo op. You can't be worrying about the chicken dinner that you got to get a picture at when there's business at hand that needs to be taken care of in the Capitol building.
Right.
When it comes to housing, and I wore my light jacket today on purpose so I could feel this cold, because that means there's a family out here that's got to feel that cold regularly because they don't have secure housing. Because affordable housing isn't really affordable when you don't give them the proper opportunities and jobs they need to make sure they can maintain it. When you're not here every single day inside the legislative building fighting for your constituents who are showing up at your office. When they're calling me, telling me that they can't get a hold of you, that's a problem for me. So I need Assemblyman Santa Barbara to not only step up and do the job, but to make sure that he's not sitting comfortably on what he's been doing, because business as usual isn't getting it done. In 2023, business as usual isn't handling business anymore. I need every family to know that they can count on our state legislator to be there for them, to be in his office, to show up where it matters most, to make sure his vote counts, not to abstain, not to disappear throughout the midday, but to be here and fight for every single family who needs him. If there's a child out here who isn't safe in what they're doing, that's a problem for me. So it's a pleasure to stand with Citizen Action to make sure that their voices are heard, to stand with every citizen, every constituent in our district, and to make sure that every assembly member is fighting for Albany, Schenectady, and New York State. Thank you so much. I appreciate you having me here today.
Thank you, Justin. Next to speak will be Hassan Harris Wilcher, who is a fearless member leader from Albany with the unapologetic passion for housing. Hassan.
Good afternoon, everybody.
Good afternoon.
All right, that's what I like to hear. My name is Hassan Harris Wilcher, and I was born and raised here in Albany. I used to live right down the street over there, right down on Park Avenue, when Lincoln Park was Lincoln Park. When I used to walk down to my school at Montessori Magnet that was down there, I lived in an apartment where I was kicked out.
Ooh, that ain't right.
Me and my mom were living there for a majority of my rearing years. And the landlord decided he wanted his girlfriend to go move in. So I had to move out. Then me and my mom, who is a single mother, who works in the education system, serving special needs children, had to go and find a new place to live. We had to scour the Capital Region District area and try to find a place to live. Luckily, I didn't have to move too far, moved down to the historic pastures, where about through middle school, all the way through high school and college is where I lived. But that area wasn't much better. I routinely had to deal with flooding and the roof leaking directly on top of my face. My bed was waterlogged and soaked every time it rained. My mom eventually, the flooding went to my mom's room as well, but often I woke up with a waterlogged bed while I had to wake up and go to school. I say this not for a pity story, but because this is the reality that many of our New Yorkers and Americans face. We have to live in the housing that has been designed and raised for us. We need good protections. We need good cause.
Woohoo!
We need lead protection for our young children and people growing up in New York, because lead is still a contributing factor to poverty, lack of education, lack of resources for our children and their parents, who have to deal with the effects as well. Because it is a household that needs to realize that they have the power, and that they should have the power, to raise the concerns to their landlords. Maybe their landlord isn't a big corporation. Maybe it's just a single person. Or maybe it's a series of corporations that have bounced in and out of that rental association or that housing area, like I've gone through. I've gone through both, and I can't tell you which is better than the other. So, we need to pass good cause, not only here in Albany, but in Schenectady and statewide. People deserve to live in a house that feels like a home, that feels safe and secure, so that I can wake up and not worry about wringing out their clothes in the morning. Worry about how they're going to make the next rent payment, and do they have to starve themselves so their children can eat? We need good cause, we need lead protection, and we need other solutions like TOPA. We need tenants to feel empowered to live in a safe community. This is the New York we can make happen today.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you, Hassan. When I say housing is a human right, y'all say fight, fight, fight. Housing is a human right.
Fight, fight, fight.
Thank you. Our assembly member Owusu Anane was supposed to be here, but he wasn't able to.
He's a common council.
Common council member. But I would like to read a quote from him. He said, "People across our city are at risk of losing their homes, and it's long past time we protect them. With citizen actions, leadership, tenants fought hard for and won good cause protections here in Albany, and they shouldn't have to be afraid of the next court decision that will take them away. It's time to pass good cause statewide so the hardworking families in our city and cities across the state can sleep at night knowing they can't be unjustly turned out of their homes."
That's right.
All right, thank you.
Yeah.
Housing is a human right.
Fight, fight, fight.
So you're going to hear from Robert and Johanna Titus, the geologist and biologist couple who write